in support of common candidates. In an interview with Phoenix News, Bishop Mwenda pointed out that while the Act defines campaign materials, it does not restrict who may wear them once political alliances are formally recognized. He believes the ECZ's directive exceeds the clear provisions of the law, specifically Sections 2, 29.3 and 29.4, which focus on material distribution rather than prohibiting allied usage. Bishop Mwenda warns that unchecked interpretation of the law by the electoral body risks undermining established practices of political cooperation. His comment comes after ECZ chairperson Wangala Zalomis insisted that using campaign materials from non-participating parties is illegal and against the electoral process, allowing only materials depicting symbols, colors and images of participating parties and candidates.
Whichever way ECZ is picking it up, we don't know whether the law they are using. So currently the political alliances are recognized, and it is a common practice for alliances to members to support one another. But not only that, as they have said, that's not in the Electoral Act, which is the process act, which they have just shared, or rather expanded. But more will be given anyway in the process. You'll have more from CCMG. Said you wait and you'll hear from us soon.
The Southern African Resource Watch, SARW, has called for a comprehensive review of Vedanta Resources' performance since its return to Konkola Copper Mines KCM to ascertain claims that over $400 million has been invested at the mine. This follows a recent statement by KCM Chief Operating Officer Malcolm Mewet indicating that Vedanta Resources has already fulfilled its initial investment pledge of $124 million ahead of the July 1st, 2025 deadline, bringing the total investment since the firm resumed control in August 2024 to over $400 million. However, SARW Senior Research and Advocacy Officer Edward Lange says there's need for both government and Vedanta to revisit and assess the promises made prior to the resumption of operations compared to the current state of affairs at the mine. Mr. Lange argues that it remains unclear how the $400 million has been spent as the mine continues to face operational challenges, lacks efficiency and productivity, and has seen no significant improvement in the welfare of its employees. He has also criticized the ongoing outsourcing practices at KCM, saying Vedanta continues to subcontract labor without adequate oversight, especially with the quality of contracts and working conditions for employees under contractors.
We are appealing to both, actually, the government and Vedanta to get back on the drawing board and relook at the pronouncements prior to the reinstatement of or the out-of-court issues between Vedanta and I think ZCCM, as it were, because nothing has changed. To put it in a plain language, the status quo.
Patriotic Front Central Committee member and Shiwangandu Member of Parliament Stephen Kampiongo has warned that the UPND government's handling of its ministers could set a dangerous precedent that could see them subjected to the same treatment former PF ministers are being subjected to once they leave office. Mr. Kampiongo notes that some UPND ministers are allegedly being shielded from scrutiny because they are currently in power, but cautions that this protection is temporary. He warns that once the political tide shifts, UPND ministers may face similar scrutiny and be held to account, as is the case with former PF officials currently. Mr. Kampiongo tells Phoenix News that no one remains in power forever, and those currently being protected may face the same treatment as former PF officials once they relinquish their positions.
We must strive to have an institution that should be able to deal with current, past, current, and the future without seemingly being interfered with. So that's a danger. That's a danger, because if example, there are people that were actively being investigated. Then they're shielded whilst they're enjoying authority of government. The time they come out of the authority, they are certain people sued. So it's a template being set.
Residents of Twapia Township in Ndola are up in arms over excessive dust emissions caused by trucks using the main township roads. In an interview with Phoenix News, the residents have complained that the dust is becoming hazardous to their health and daily lives and have urged authorities to find a lasting solution to the problem. A check by Phoenix News revealed heavy trucks passing through the area, spreading dust in all directions, with passers-by not wearing face masks. The residents are calling for measures such as restricting heavy trucks from using the township roads.
Tudero mbako obuteko obutole keshe posana kaira matraki aina repsapita musebota uri buno
no rukungu boss kaidi rukunguru kaidi tudeta gobatse kunganda dude yako sana rukungu so nakutiba ro rikshap obizi sine boss
pero ale chikuba chichene pale letenga ne rukungu kunonga baitire fikaita pale toleta na chimoto kacha kuitira po ame inspira bakuti rukungu letenga leo kasirwa bwera so rukungu ena bara zotore chiburiramo.
When reached for comment, the Copperbelt Province Permanent Secretary, Lawrence Mwanza, expressed disappointment over the contractor's failure to manage the detour. Mr. Mwanza says plans to hold an engagement meeting with stakeholders to discuss solutions to the situation are underway following numerous complaints his office has received from affected residents.
When there's a road construction, I think we've called for the meeting. For the concessionaires, the grade one contractor of this road, it is in parts, so that we put it on table that we are disappointed with the management of the tour, where there's a lot of dust emission which is not safe to our people, and it's a responsibility of the contractor to make sure that they suppress that dust, is either through, you know, water bowsing or molasses, the two things. So we've engaged. We are engaging, we've written to them, we need to have an engagement meeting so that we see how we can address the challenges. Yes, people are complaining, and it's visible. When you drive around there, we see a lot of dust, and which is unacceptable.
In global news, a monitoring group says 594 people have been killed during the recent violence in southern Syria that took on a sectarian dimension. The UK-based Syrian Observatory of Human Rights, SOHR, documented a significant outbreak of brutality in the killings that have gripped Suweida province since Sunday. 300 members of the Druze religious minority were killed, including 146 fighters and 154 civilians, 83 of whom were summarily executed by government forces. We monitor the BBC for details in this story and also for other global stories.
The US said it did not support Israeli strikes on Syria this week and that President Trump viewed these with displeasure. The Israeli attacks resumed on Thursday evening. This week, Israel has hit Suweida province, where hundreds have died in sectarian violence, and the Syrian capital, Damascus. US officials have confirmed that President Trump has been diagnosed with a vein condition, chronic venous insufficiency. The White House says this is common for his age, and there's no sign of anything more serious. A prominent rights group in El Salvador says it's been forced into exile by the government. Cristosal moved to Guatemala after its anti-corruption director was arrested for alleged financial crimes. It rejects the charge as political.
We take a break.
A whole new flight for radio.
And now business news.
The business news is brought to you by F&B. Health changes everything.
Economist Trevor Hambai says the hosting of the Invest Zambia International Conference, IZIC, on an annual basis is a great initiative that will see a boost in the country's GDP growth. Speaking in an interview with Phoenix Business News, Mr. Hambai foresees Zambia's attractiveness to foreign direct investment, FDI, doubling with the annual hosting of IZIC, which should improve its economic outlook. He adds that doubling